Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Tes Zayin. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on Lezichah Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. Let's begin today on the Mishnah on Tes Vav Amud Beis. The Mishnah here, we're finishing up the first parak between today and tomorrow. The Mishnah here is going to be discussing just some basics regarding the Nezek of Keren. When we talk about the animal damaging with its horn, it doesn't have to be limited to that. We're going to see in just a moment there are subcategories as well, tolados. But basically, this is an unusual way for the animal to damage. An animal doesn't normally damage this way. When speaking about an ox, so it doesn't normally put its head down and gore you with its horn. But if it does so then the owner of the animal is going to be liable. As we've been discussing since the beginning of the Masechta, because this is an unusual way that the animal damages, so the owner of the animal only needs to pay for the first three times chatzi nezek, only half damages. And as we're going to be discussing in tomorrow's daf, that only comes min aguf. That's capped at the based on how much the damaging animal is worth. Any time after three, fourth time and onward, the owner of the animal pays nezek shalem. This is the very basics regarding the nizke keren, the damages that are done, any damages that fall into this category of keren, which we're going to give toladus in just a moment of what they are. Important idea, important piece of information to be aware of, which we've gone over already a number of times. We're going to go over again in just a moment. There is a machlokas tanayim. What if nizke keren is done birishus hanizak? Your ox goes into the to the person's property and damages while on the person's property. So there, the chachamim say it's still chatzi nezek as long as the animal is not have a. Does not have a long record, does not have a rap sheet. So then you're going to still pay chatzi nezek according to the chachamim. But Rabbi Tarfon says no. Rabbi Tarfon says that once you're in the reshus hanizak, once you're in the property of the nizak, so then you have to pay nezek shalom. So machlok is between the chacham and Rabbi Tarfon, which is just a good idea to know. It's an important idea to know, and we need to know it over the course of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is going to give us now five examples of a tam and five examples of a muad. I'm going to read the Mishnah kipshuto. Based on the simple reading of the Mishnah, which as we'll see throughout the Gemara is going to take some time and steps to get to a different pshat in the Mishnah. So the pshat I'm saying in the Mishnah now is not going to be the pshat that we're going to end with by the end of this morning. Let's start off. Chamisha tamim v'chamisha muadim. There are five times and there are five muads, and then the Mishnah goes on to list. So habehema ina muadis lo ligach v'lo ligach v'lo lishach v'lo livot v'lo livot. In terms of the main category of Keren, together with its four tolados, so an animal, negicha, that's with its horn, ligov, that is rubbing its body against, in order to damage, neshicha, biting, revitza, squatting, and livot, and beitas, kicking. So these are all different ways that an animal could damage. These are all unusual, therefore they fall into the category of Keren, and therefore the owner of the animal only pays chatzi nezek. Hashein mu'edes lechol es arayla. Now, kipshuto, what the Mishnah is going to do now is it's going to give us a list of the five mu'ados. And so I'm going to count it as we're going through each five. One, Hashein mu'edes lechol es arayla. Shane. Now, Shane is basically an animal eating. And as long as the animal is eating what is considered to be normal food, so this is something that you should expect the animal to do, and therefore the owner has to pay for the damages that are incurred. As we've been discussing since the beginning of the Masechta, and let's just simply reiterate, Shane, you're only going to be chai for Shane in the Rishos HaNizak. Shane that takes place in the Rishos HaRabim, the owner of the animal is Potter. As we discussed previously. So clearly, as the Mishnah here is talking about Shane, it can only be talking about Birshus and Isaac. That's one. Two, Ragamuadis Lishbor Baderech Ilucha. The damages that are caused by the animal walking. This is what's called regal. So, because an animal walks and it steps on things, this is something which is normal, and therefore the owner of the animal has to pay Nezek Shalem. Again, just to reiterate, by regal, you only chayef if it takes place Berushos Anizak. Regel that occurs in the Rishos Rabim, the owner of the animal is going to be putter. However, if you're chayiv, meaning it takes place in the Rishos Anizak, the owner of the animal has to pay Nezik Shalem, because this is something that should have been anticipated. So that's two. Three, Shor HaMuad. Shor HaMuad means once the animal is a repeat offender and has gored three times historically, witnesses told us that the animal gored three times historically, witnesses told the owner that the animal's gored three times historically. Now this animal's got a rap sheet. Now any damage that occurs from this point going forward, the owner of the animal has to pay Nezik Shalem. That's going to be number three. Four, Shorah Mazik B'Shus HaNizak. Let's say it doesn't have a rap sheet, but it does the damages on the property of the Nizak. Then you're going to have to pay full damages. So now, if I had to ask you the question, who is our Mishnah following like? The answer is Rabbi Tarfon. Because Rabbi Tarfon says that Tom damages, Karen Tom damages that are done in the Rishus HaNizik, you have to pay full damages. So clearly this line of the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Tarfon.
Why are they interdicting the Dad Yakim in the middle of the Mishnah?
Okay, the Gemara is going to ask a very question. Okay, that's number four. Five, Ha'adam. And also, if a man damages, as we will learn over the course of the second parak, Adam Muad La'olam, a person has the status of Muad from the very beginning. We are fully responsible for any damage that we occur. More of that coming up later in the Masechta, Daf Chavav, I believe. So so that's going to be number five. So those are the list of five creatures, because I say creatures because we're one of them. So those are the list of five creatures that are Mu'ud La'olam. What about boar? What about Aish? So Rashi points out, our Mishnah right now is just talking about live entities. All right? Animals and people. So yes, in other words, boar and Aish obviously are also various forms of Nezek, but our Mishnah, the five and five, are talking about creatures. Now, in other words, how to understand the first Mishnah?
Yeah.
And maybe yes, maybe no. Meaning, I'm not sure if you have to pigeonhole this Mishnah to either Rav or Shmuel. I'm not sure. Then the Mishnah goes on to record other animals: Ze'ev, the wolf; Ari, the lion; Hadov, the bear; Hanamar, the leopard; Habardalas, to be discussed later; Hanachash, the snake. Hare Elu Mu'adim. So all these animals are dangerous animals, and so the owner of these animals are going to have to pay for full damages that are incurred by these animals from the very first time. Rebbe Lazar Omer Bizman Shem Bnei Tarbus Enem Mu'adim. Rebbe Lazar says, well, you know, they make wonderful pets at home. I'm not giving my own personal advice. They make wonderful pets at home, says Rav Elazar. And as long as they're domesticated, and as long as you raise them in your home from birth, and you basically domesticated them, made them domicile, so then they're going to follow the regular rules of Tam and Muad. That is the opinion of Rav Elazar. V'hanachash Muad La'olam. But Rav Elazar says, but there's one exception, that's the snake. The snake is going to be Muad even if domesticated. Meaning, there's no such thing as domestication of a snake. Even if you raise a snake in your house, the snake is just simply such a violent animal that it's going to be a Muad right from the very beginning, even according to the opinion of Rebbe Lazar. Okay. The Mishnah is difficult because, as Ben pointed out, as we're about to point out in just a moment, the Mishnah is following Das Yachid. It's following Rabbi Tarfon, not the Chachamim. The Mishnah is also difficult because the Mishnah says, here's five, and then after giving five and five, the Mishnah says, and also let me rattle off a whole bunch of other animals. Meaning, if the Mishnah was just really giving us just five and five, then the Mishnah should have stopped right before the word Ze'ev. Why is the Mishnah giving us more animals? Meaning, already you could sense that something strange about the Mishnah in that it gives us a list of five and five, and then rattles off a whole bunch of other animals. And additionally, following a Das Yachid, and as the Gemara is about to point out, there's another part of the Mishnah that makes the Mishnah really difficult to read. Let's begin the Gemara. Look, the Mishnah is talking about Shein, which forces us to say that we're talking about Rishus HaNizak. Has to be, because that's the only time that a person is liable for Shein damages of his animal. The animal eats, and you're obligated to pay for those damages. That's only Rishus HaNizak. So now, once we're saying that our Mishnah is talking about Rishus HaNizak, V'ketani behema einu mu'ares olam. So the animal, it does not start off from a point of being muad. Meaning that even though you're in the Rishus HaNizak, because you have to say that in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is talking about Shein, so then in the case of Karen, we're in the Rishus HaNizak. Now, what did the Mishnah say? There's such a thing as Tam. Now, So our Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint that even though you're in the Rishus HaNizak, and even though it's Karen, you're going to be paying Chatzi Nezek, not Nezek Shalem. So that's the beginning of the Mishnah. Mani Rabbanan hi. Well, the beginning of the Mishnah is following the Chachamim. The Amar Mishuna Karen B'chatzar Nizek Chatzin Nezek. Who the Mishalim? The Chachamim are of the opinion that Karen, you pay half damages even when you're in the Rishus HaNizak. Ema Seifa. But then this all becomes problematic because now you turn to the next part of the Mishnah, which is Hamuad Vishur Hamazik Rishus. I'm sorry, Shur Hamuad Vishur Hamazik Rishus HaNizek Veha Adam. Then the Mishnah talks about how, even though it's an animal without a rap sheet, if that animal does damages, Karen damages, in the Rishus HaNizak, you have to pay full damages. Meaning the Mishnah puts that under the category of Muad. Well, who's that? Asan the Rabbi Tarfon Damar, Mishuna Karen Mechatzar HaNizak, Nezek Shalom Hu Demeshalim. So the second half of the Mishnah is following Rabbi Tarfon. So now the Mishnah is vacillating between the Chachamim and Rabbi Tarfon. In the beginning, the Mishnah is clearly favoring the opinion, not favoring, it is espousing the viewpoint of the Chachamim. Because again, in the beginning of the Mishnah, it talks about Shein. The only location you could have a conversation about Shein is in Rishus HaNizak. It also is talking about Tam, where you pay half damages, also in the Rishus HaNizak. And that's the Chachamim's opinion that Karen Bershus and Isaac can pay half damages.
Tom is everywhere. Tom, you've been in Rabbi Masbeh.
According to Rabbi Tarfon, the
Tom anywhere if it borders to get half damages no matter what.
Right, but because the Mishnah is talking about Shein, so we know that geographically our Mishnah is talking about Rishus HaNizak, because there's nowhere else you can have the discussion of Shein. And because now the Mishnah puts together side by side Shein and Tam, so Tam is also taking place in Rishus HaNizak. Meaning, unlikely. It's stronger than unlikely. The Mishnah is talking about one location, so therefore the Mishnah is talking about Rishus HaNizak. We know that because it's talking about Shein. And then it puts Tom right by it, so it's talking about Rishus HaNizak. And there, just like, the whole purpose of the Mishnah telling us is that Tom, you pay half damages. Okay, so you're paying half damages, that's going like the Chachamim. And then the second half of the Mishnah tells us, oh, by the way, if the Karen is done, in the Rishus HaNizak, you pay full damages. So the Mishnah shifted from the Chachamim's viewpoint to Rabbi Tarfon's viewpoint. So Reisha Rabbanan v'Sefer Rabbi Tarfon, and that's what the Gemara is asking now incredulously, that the Mishnah, aside from all the issues which I raised, the Gemara is just raising even a more fundamental issue, which is the shift in the Mishnah from the Chachamim's viewpoint to Rabbi Tarfon's viewpoint. So the Gemara says, is that really how you're going to have to read the Mishnah? And the Gemara says, as a first approach in, yep, that's how you're going to read the Mishnah, that Daha Amar, Lay Shmuel, Shmuel was teaching his student Rav Yehuda, and he says Shinana. That was the name that Shmuel always referred to Rav Yehuda. He was sharp. So Shavik Masisim Vasa Basrai, leave the Mishnah alone. Meaning you keep knocking your head against the wall with this Mishnah, trying to figure out how can the Mishnah make the big shift going from the opinion of the Chachamim to the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. So Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, allow me please to give you some advice. Stop knocking your head. The way to learn the Mishnah is, the beginning of the Mishnah is Shitas Chachamim, the end of the Mishnah is Shitas Rabbi Tarfon. Reisha Rabbanan v'Sefer Rabbi Tarfon. Okay, that is all our first approach of our Mishnah. Rabbi Lazar, Mishmei Derav, Amar, so the Gemara now is going to give us a second approach in the Mishnah, and that is Kulei Rabbi Tarfon Hi. The entirety of the Mishnah from beginning to end is Shitas Rabbi Tarfon. Again, Rabbi Tarfon's of the opinion that any damage, even by a tam, in the Rishus HaNizak, you're on the hook for full damages. which then only begs the question, how do you read the first half of our Mishnah? Because the first half of the Mishnah puts the Tam right together with Shein. Now again, Shein can only take place one; it can only occur in one place, in the Rishus HaNizak. That means that the Tam is taking place in the Rishus HaNizak. And clearly what the Mishnah is trying to communicate to us is that, well, if the Shein is taking place in Rishus HaNizak, the Tam is also taking place in Rishus HaNizak, and the Tam, we know, you only pay half damages. So how did you understand the Mishnah if the entirety of the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Tarfon?
But this makes sense, because if, usually in the Mishnah, if it's like a dissension, you point out who the dissension is from.
Well, hold that thought. We're gonna come back to that. So Kula Rabbi Tarfani Reisha Bechatzim Yucheres Leperos LeEchad Mehem Ulezeh LeShvara. So the Gemara says, and here's how you're going to read the Mishnah, and the entire Mishnah is going to subscribe to Rabbi Tarfon. It goes like this. Look, we're going to, and we've discussed forms of this earlier in the parak. We're talking about a jointly owned property with restrictions. Okay, and we discussed this also previously. Now here the restrictions are going to be a little bit odd. Okay, in this case we're going to be discussing a jointly owned property where we're both allowed to bring animals onto the property, but we're both not allowed to bring fruit onto the property. I know that's weird. You'd think if we can bring animals onto this property, I can't bring fruit on. But anyway, just to understand the Mishnah, that's the ukimta of the Mishnah. Reisha bechatzam yucheres leperos leechad mehem lezeh leshvarim. So we are both allowed to bring animals onto this property, but I'm not allowed to bring fruit onto the property. So now, here we go. Once we have this ukimta in the Mishnah, here's how the Mishnah is going to work out. Delagabi shein havi lechatzar hanizak. Now, because I'm not allowed to bring fruit onto the property, so now only one person is allowed to bring fruit onto the property, and that's the nizak, the damaged party. So, in terms of liability for Shane, it's only going to be liability when it's in someone else's property. Vis-a-vis fruit, it is somebody else's property. Because I'm restricted from bringing my fruit onto this property, so therefore, it's stay acher. Vis-a-vis fruit, it's someone else's property. And that's why I'm going to be liable for the damages to the fruit, and that's Shein. That's the Shein mentioned in the Mishnah. Now, Ulegabe Karen, Havir Shosarabim. Now, as far as Karen is concerned, this is considered a jointly owned property, and in terms of the Nezik of Karen, this is going to be considered a public property, because we're both allowed to bring animals onto this property, and now because it's a public property, that's why you're going to be paying Chatzi Nezek. That's the Ukimta in the Mishnah. So I'm Rav Kahana, I'm Risa L'Shemaisa Kamei Rav Zvid Min Arda. So Rav Kahana says, so good, so I was saying over this pshat, I said it over in front of Rav Zvid, V'amar li, mi matzis mukmela kula karebi tarfon. Now, that's really difficult. To say that the entirety of the Mishnah is found like Rabbi Tarfon, for the following reason. Because look at what the Mishnah does in terms of the Nezek of Shein. When the Mishnah describes Shein, the damage is done by the eating of the animal, the consumption of the animal, it says, when are you on the hook? Only when the animal eats things that it normally eats. What we would, you and I would call food. However, Ra'ilah in Shein, Ra'ilah lo. Now, that means that if, let's say, it eats something which it does not normally eat, clearly the Mishnah is saying that doesn't fall into the category of Shein, and I would not be on the hook for full damages. That's unusual. Now, once you hear the word unusual, immediately in your head, you should now shift and say, well, it's not Shein. If it's unusual, that's now called Karen. And the difference between Shein and Karen, Shein I pay full damages, Karen I pay half damages. Wait 1 second. If our Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Tarfon, and if I'm on the property of the Nizak, I'm still going to pay full damages for Karen. So really, if the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Tarfon, there'd be no difference what the animal is eating. The animal is eating food, Shein. The animal is eating non-food, Karen. But if we're on the property of the Nizak, both I'd have to pay full damages. And therefore, if the Mishnah is like Rabbi Tarfon, there should be no distinction what the animal is eating. And yet the Mishnah says, well, you're only on the hook if it eats food. Oh, that's problematic. That means that the Mishnah can't be going like Rabbi Tarfon. V'i Rabbi Tarfon, Hamra Mishnah Karen Mechatzar Nizak Nezek Shalem Mishalem. We know that Rabbi Tarfon says you have to pay for full damages when you're on the property of the damaged party, even if it's Karen. So it's really hard to read Rabbi Tarfon in the beginning of the Mishnah. El ol olam rabbanan hi. So here now we're going to go with a third approach of the Mishnah. And now we're going to have the entirety of the Mishnah from beginning to end go like the Chachamim. This is going to be tricky, but we're going to do it. Or at least make an attempt. V'chesur mechzer v'achi ketani. But in order to say this, however, we're going to have to insert into the Mishnah. Chamisha tamim hein. And here is now how we're going to read the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts off by listing the five categories of Karen. Right, the principal category of Karen, which is Goring, the four subcategories of Karen, mentioned in the Mishnah. Now again, because our Mishnah is going like the Chachamim, how much do you pay? Half damages, regardless of where it happens. According to the Chachamim, you're always going to pay half damages, even Bershus HaNizak. Now, next, V'im hu adu chamish tamu adin. Now here's what the Mishnah is doing. The Mishnah then says five muads. But unlike the way I presented the Mishnah at the beginning of this morning, where I then rattled off the number five in the next five cases of the Mishnah, the Gemara now is saying, don't do that. Rather, take all the cases that we just mentioned in the Mishnah by Tam, multiply each one by three, and then each one becomes a Muad. Meaning, every Tam now is going to turn into a Muad in the event of repeat offense. And repeat offense means three times. So now that's the five and five. The five tam, and then take each one of the tamim of the Mishnah, multiply by three, and you get to five muad. Now the Mishnah, Shein V'regel, is a new point altogether. Shein V'regel muad demitzchilasam. The Shein V'regel, because it is the category of Shein and the category of Regel, so therefore these are expected damages, and therefore muad from the very beginning. Vehechan, excellent. Vehechan ha'adasan bechatzar nizak. Limited, of course, only to the property of the nizak because of Shein and Regel. This is how we're going to try reading the Mishnah. And then if that's the way we're going to read the Mishnah, so now the entirety of the Mishnah is going like the Chachamim, not like Rabbi Tarfon. So Maskev LaRavina. So Ravina says that's tricky because what about the next line of the Mishnah? What are you going to do with the next line of the Mishnah? Haktan ilakaman, shoram hasper, shosan izak, ketzad. Because you see, the next Mishnah, actually it's two Mishnahs coming up ahead, it's the beginning of the second parak, but it doesn't matter. In an upcoming Mishnah, we're going to see the Mishnah say, shor hamazik b'rshosan izak, clearly referencing our Mishnah that we just learned, and Ketzad. Now let me explain to you the following. And what the Mishnah is about to explain to us in a subsequent Mishnah is that the machlokes between the Chacham and Rabbi Tarfon. But you see, the subsequent Mishnah, the upcoming Mishnah, clearly understood our Mishnah and specifically the line of Shorem Azik Bershus HaNizak, not as a reference to Shein, but as a reference to Karen. So it sounds pretty clear that the reading that we just did with our Mishnah is very improbable because of the Mishnah coming up. And the Gemara makes exactly that point. Look, if our Mishnah was talking about Karen, so then you understand the upcoming Mishnah where it uses the word Ketzad. But if our Mishnah stops talking about Karen after the first two lines of our Mishnah, and is only talking about Shein, how do you understand the upcoming Mishnah? My Ketzad. Because the word Ketzad clearly is linking the line of Shor HaMazik B'Rishos HaNizak to the category of Karen. Ela Amar Ravina Chesur Mechzer V'Hachi Ketani. So this is now going to be our fourth and final approach to understanding our Mishnah, and it's going to go like this. Chamisha Tamim Hein. So, let's read the start off the Mishnah the same way we started off in the first, second, and third approach, which is the first line of the Mishnah is talking about Tam, the Karen, and the four subcategories. V'im he'idu chamisha mu'adim. And we're going to do the same thing we did just a moment ago. If you take every one of these five Tamim, you multiply them by three, each one of them turns into a mu'ad. That's five and five. V'shein v'regel mu'adim mitzchilasam. Now, as far as shein v'regel, mu'ad from the very beginning. Okay. Now, Zehu Shor Hamuad. Now, what the Mishnah is doing is going back to Karen. This is Shor Hamuad, meaning that which the Torah makes reference to when talking, when describing a animal that's a repeat offender, and because it's a repeat offender, therefore you're going to, the owner has to pay full damages, which the Mishnah highlighted by 5 and 5. The first 5 is when it's not a, when it's a non-repeat offender. The second 5 is when it is a repeat offender. This is the Shor Hamuad mentioned in the Torah. The Shor Hamuad Bereshus HaNizak, and then the next line of the Mishnah. Oh, by the way, if Karen, non-repeat, if Karen were to occur in the property of the Nizak, Machlok is Rabbi Tarfon Rabbanan, so then you should know that's subject to a debate. Now, of course, if you turn back and you look at the Mishnah, you don't see this in the Mishnah, but that's exactly the point. According to Ravina, Chesra Mechsera, this is the way you're going to have to read it into the Mishnah. V'yesh mo'adim acherem, kayotze. And then we're going to continue reading further in the Mishnah, meaning then the Mishnah's got other things, other animals which are moored from the very beginning, and they are Ze'ev Ari, V'hadov, V'abardlis, V'hanamar, V'hanachash. Okay, so that is how Ravina reads the Mishnah, and now the Gemara pretty much is settled with this reading of the Mishnah. So again, just now to summarize, the Mishnah is read in the following sequence. 1. The Mishnah tells us that there are 5 categories of Tam, meaning the Karen and the 4 subcategories of Karen, where because these are unexpected, unanticipated forms of damage, the owner of the animal has to pay half damages. Okay. Then the Mishnah says, and there are 5 Mu'adim, which is now just simply saying, go back to the Tam, and in the event that the animal becomes a repeat offender and does them 3 times, so now the animal upgrades from being a Tam to being a Mu'ad, and the owner now has to pay full damages. Good. Then, the next line of the Mishnah is talking about Shein V'Regel. Shein V'Regel are the other major categories of damage, where, because these are expected, the owner has to pay full damages, of course, limited only to the Rishus and Izak. Then the Mishnah goes back to Karen, and simply tells us that the 5 and 5 that we just described, that's the Shor mentioned in the Torah. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, and oh, by the way, when Karen Tam is done in the Rishus HaNizak, subject to a machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim, and now that segues to the upcoming Mishnah. That is Ravina's reading of the Mishnah. That is the Gemara's seemingly preferred way. And I say it's preferred because the Gemara now is about to tell us, we're going to see now a Braisa that validates this reading that we just had in the Mishnah. Tanya Nami Achi, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Chamisha Tamim Heim, V'im Huadu, Chamisha Muadim. Beautiful. The way we just said it. 5 times in the Mishnah, and if you repeat each one of them 3 times, the animal upgrades to a Muad. V'shin V'regel Muadim Etchilasam. And Shin V'regel are moored from the very beginning. V'zehu Shor Hamuad, V'shor Hamazik, V'shor Sanizak, Machlok is Rabbi Tarfon Rabbanan. This is the Shor Hamuad mentioned in the Torah, and the Shor Hamazik that does damage in the Rishos Hanazik, Nizak meaning Karen, that is a Machlokus between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim. V'yesh Muadim Acherim Kayotze Be'elu, and then the Braisa, we're just reading the rest of the Braisa, but we know this already, because we saw this back in the Mishnah. Other animals which are just wild animals, and therefore Muad from the very beginning, has the Eva Ari, Vardova, Namar, Vabadlas, Vanachash, the animals that we already listed back in the Mishnah, Iga Deramulei Mirma. Now here's what we're going to do. We're going to do the same thing one more time, but we're just simply going to look at the Mishnah, compare it to the Braisa, and basically say what we just got done saying. Tanan, our Mishnah, Chamisha Tamim V'Chamisha Muadim V'Suleika. Here the Gemara now picks on the fact that after saying the numbers 5 and 5, the Gemara is bothered by, what do you mean 5 and 5? Look at the Mishnah. Look how many other examples that are given in the Mishnah. There's more than 5. So V'Haika, Zeva, Ari, V'Adova, Namar, V'Abardos, V'Anachash. What about all the other animals mentioned in the Mishnah? Omishani, Am Ravina, Chesrei Mechser, V'Achikitani. And on this, Ravina says, well, let's read the Mishnah the way I chose to read the Mishnah, and once you read the Mishnah that way, all these problems become resolved. Chamisha tamim heim v'im huadu chamisha muadim. V'shein v'ragam muadim mitchalasam. V'zer shura mord v'shura mazik v'shura sanizik machlok z'rabi tov v'rabbanan. V'yesh muadim achim kayot z'beilu hazev v'ari v'ado v'anamar v'abardolos v'anachash. The reason why I didn't translate it is because Ravina is just saying over his pshat one more time in the Mishnah, but in doing so, it also resolves the other issue which we raised, which is, are you ignoring the wolf and the lion? What about all those other animals? They don't fall, according to Ravino's reading, we don't have a problem. They don't fall under the category of five. Five is just simply a reference to any tom that we just listed. If it's a repeat offender, it upgrades to a mu'ad. So now we've exhausted the five and five. The next points of the Mishnah are a separate point altogether. Continuing. We're on Tet Zayin Amud Aleph. We're towards the bottom of the Amud, second wide line. The Mishnah is going to talk about Revitza. Revitza, the Mishnah says, is one of the subcategories of Keren. It's unusual. The animal is going to squat on something, and because it's unusual, so therefore the owner pays Chatzi Nezek, as long as the animal is not a repeat offender. So Amar Avalaz Eloshan Olapachim Gedolim Avapachim Ketanim Orchehu. This idea that the animal squats and that's considered unusual is only if it's sitting on large vessels. However, small vessels, that's considered derech, that's usual, and therefore that falls under the category of regel. And therefore, you pay full damages, but only if done in the Rishus on Izak. Lema Misayele, the Gemara now would like to bring a support to this Chiddush of Rebbe Lazar. Habehema Mu'adas La'alech Kedarka, an animal is expected to damage while it's walking. Ula Shaber, Ula Machesa Adam Vesabema Vesakelim. And to break and to crush humans, animals, and Kalim. So, this Brisa that we just got done reading says that it's perfectly normal for an animal to crush Kalim. Our Mishnah told us it falls under the category of Keren, which means it's unusual. So that's called the steer between the Mishnah and the Brisa. So the Gemara says, well, if you follow Rebbe Lazar, you have it all worked out. Big Kalim, unusual. That's what our Mishnah is talking about. Small Kalim, that's normal. That's usual. And therefore, that's something you should have expected. And by the way, and when the Mishnah also talks about humans, all I'm saying now is Rashi. When the Braisa talks about humans, so the humans that are quote-unquote normal for an animal to trample on would be small children. Small Kalim, small children. So that's the resolution between the Mishnah and the Braisa, and this would be supportive of Rav Elazar's point. The Gemara says, Doma Menatzad. The Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? It's not conclusive. Could be that when the Braisa was talking about something which is considered normal, maybe normal over here means not the animal squatting. An animal squatting on a kli is always unusual. The Revitza that we mentioned back in our Mishnah, an animal squatting down on something and breaking it, doesn't matter if it's big, doesn't matter if it's small, it's always unusual. What about the Braisa that called it normal? Maybe what the Braisa was talking about was incidental contact from the side. An animal's walking. And as it's walking, there's a kli not underneath it, where it's not squatting on top of it, but just simply off to the side. And the animal just simply makes incidental body contact on the side. That's what the Braisa is talking about. And if that's true, so then the Braisa lends no support to Rav Elazar's point. Ikadam, the Gemara now is going to have another version of Rav Elazar. And the second version, Amar Rav Elazar, Lotem Apachim Gedolim, Hu, Delav Orche, Avapachim Ketanim Orchehu, El Afilu Pachim Ketanim Nami Lav Orchehu. So in the second version of Rav Elazar is taking the other position, which is that it's always going to be unusual for an animal to squat on a kli. Doesn't matter if it's big, doesn't matter if it's small. And because it's unusual, therefore the owner of the animal is only going to be paying chatzi nezek. Meisve, the Gemara now challenges based on the Braisa. Ulamachis adam vesabehema vesakelim. The Braisa we just got done learning says, it's normal for an animal to trample on these items and to crush these items. Now, according to the second version of Rav Elazar, it's not normal. So the Gemara says, I'm a Rav Elazar, do my menatzad. So Rav Elazar says, oh look, I'll deflect. The Braisa is not talking about where the animal was squatting on these kalim. The Braisa was talking about incidental contact from the side. That's what the Braisa is describing. That's considered normal. Now what we're going to do is we're just going to do the same information, but we're going to look at the Mishnah and compare it to the Braisa. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah of Lir votes, it is unusual for an animal to squat on a kli. The Braisa says an animal is normally crushing kalim. So, and we think it's a problem because we think the Braisa is talking about squatting. So this is Rebbe Lazar's first version. I will resolve the discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Mishnah talking about, describing as being unusual, large kalim. The Braisa describing as being normal, small kalim. This obviously fits into the first version of Rav Elazar, not the second. Hazeiva Ari, now we talk about our wild animals. My Bardalas. So these animals, the Mishnah describes as being just wild, meaning animals which you, the owner, should have been more careful about from the very beginning, because they're just simply non-domesticated animals, they're wild. The My Bardalas. The animals that we described in the Mishnah, we pretty much know what they are, with one notable exception. The wolf, the lion, the snake, the leopard. So those are all generally identifiable. The Bardalas is something which the Gemara itself does not know what it means. I'm Rav Yehuda Nafrizo. So Rav Yehuda says, interpret the Mishnah as Bardalas as being the Nafrizo. That is helpful, but only if we know what a Nafrizo is. My Nafrizo, I'm Rav Yosef, Appa. So Rav Yosef describes it as an Appa. I will make the same point. That's only helpful if we know what the Appa is. Okay, I don't know what an Appa is. But Rav Yosef gives his running perish, his running targum, and so when the word apa comes up, when the word bardalas comes up, he generally translates it as an apa. Now in the English, I think the closest word we have to it is an ape, but I don't think we're talking about an ape. It's some sort of weasel. Certainly an unusual pet. Meisvei, Rabbi Meir Omer Afat Sevua. Now the Gemara is bothered because of the following. Rabbi Meir also wants to include to the list an animal referred to as a Sevua. Now, Rabbi Elazar Omer Af Hanachash, Rabbi Elazar says even a snake. The Amr Rav Yosef Sevua is the Apa. Now Rav Yosef said that the Sevua is an Apa. That's the problem. Because our Mishnah mentioned Bardalas. And we have Rav Yosef translating the word Bardalas as an Apa. But meanwhile, in another Braisa, where we're adding another animal to the list, which is the Tzavua, Rabbi Yosef translates that as an Apa. Well, you can't have the Bardalas and the Tzavua both being an Apa, because clearly they are listed as two separate animals. Lo kasha kam b'tzavua zachar, kam b'tzavua nekeva. So the Gemara says, no problem. We are going to say that one is a reference to a male, and the other one is a reference to a female. In terms of which one the Mishnah is describing and which one the Braisa is describing, so Rashi himself offers a couple of explanations. I'm just going to go over Rashi's preferred explanation. You can follow me on the second to last line of Rashi. Lishna achrina v'ikarhu. Rashi says at the... I skipped over the first pshat in Rashi, but Rashi is tipping his cap to the second pshat, which I'm about to read. Masisim b'tzavua nekeva. As far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah is talking about the female tzavua. V'rameir mosev tzavua zachar, and Rameir is adding the tzavua zachar, which parenthetically means, according to the second pshat, that the female tzavua is a much wilder animal. And the male version is less wild, and I know that because Rabbi Meir added it to the list, meaning that according to the Tanna Kamma, the Tanna Kamma feels that it's not intrinsically wild. Anyway, v'tarva mikre apa, but they're both referred to as the apa. Anyway, back to our Gemara. Now these next lines of Gemara I'm going to read, I'm going to translate. I'm not going to pretend like I understand. Okay, so the tzavu after 7 years it becomes a bat. And atleif l'achar sheva shanim nasa arpad. And the atleif after 7 years becomes an arpad. And arpad l'achar sheva shanim nasa kimosh. And kimosh l'achar sheva shanim nasa chawach. And chawach l'achar sheva shanim nasa shade. Okay. First of all, I don't know what these animals actually are. And just my ignorance over here goes on so many levels. I don't know what these animals are. That's one. Two, I don't know what the Gemara means by this, that they turn into, right? Some these animals evolve into another one. When they progenate, they turn.
It could be a spiritual process,
right? Okay, right. Right, and it could be that the Gemara is here speaking strictly metaphysically, and then I understand that I don't understand. Then we're talking about a level that I don't understand. And Shedro shel Adam la'achar shavashanim nasa nachash. The spine of a person after 7 years, I assume we mean post-mortem, so the spine of a person after 7 years becomes a snake. And that's only if you don't bow during modem. Take a look at the next amud, meaning this amud beis of today's daf, and take a look at Tosfos. Let's look together at the second Tosfos, where it's commenting on our Gemara that we just read. This Tosfos obviously belongs on the Amud Aleph, but okay. V'hu delo kar b'modim. We know that during Shemoneh Esrei, so we bow during two brachas. We bow during the first bracha and during the second to last bracha. Okay? Beginning and end. We know that. So, the Gemara over here says that if you don't bow during modim, so after 7 years after your demise, your back turns into a snake. So Tosfos over here says that you could take this Gemara and connect it to the Gemara that we learned together in Brachos. Tosfos says, "Lefi shem mitzvah lechroa v'chizakiv zakiv kechivya k'da'ash kechan b'rasheshes b'maseches Brachos." So Tosfos over here points out that we learned together in the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says that when you bend during modim, so you should get up kechivya. That's the Gemara's language in the Gemara in Brachos. You should get up like a snake. And just can remind ourselves a little bit about the Gemara over there. What does that mean, get up like a snake? So the Gemara over there says that, first of all, you should get up slowly after you bow down. First, you should raise your head, and then you should raise the rest of your body. So in other words, after you bow during modim, so you are thanking Hashem. You are acknowledging, you are submitting yourself to Hashem and thanking Him for everything that He did. We thank Him for everything He's done for us. And so we don't want to get up that early. Meaning, once we're bowed, so we don't want to be so quick to get up. So that's why the Gemara in Brachos says you should be slow to get up. And so Tosfos points out, so now you know the Gemara in Brachos, so now our Gemara over here, even though my understanding of the Gemara is, of course, limited, but at least now, a little bit better understanding. Tosfos says, Mida keneged Mida. V'nasa nachash zehu onsho shegenayhu lo b'mashe nasa nachash. Meaning that, because you didn't bow in the correct, with the correct posture, so therefore the Mida keneged Mida, the spine, which is obviously the cause of what allows you to bow and what allows you to get up, so that's going to turn into a snake because you didn't bow correctly, right? Like the Gemara in Brachos describes, kechivya. Okay. Just turn back for just a moment. Just a couple words on the bottom of the Amud. Tezayin Amud Aleph, we're finishing up the Amud Aleph. Amar Mar, Rameir Omer Afa Tzavur. Rameir adds to the list of Tzavur, Rav Elazar Omer Af Hanachash. And Rav Elazar adds a snake. But he says the words Af Hanachash, even the snake. Which means that what Rav Elazar is saying is, I agree that all those other animals are wild and undomesticated, and I'm adding the snake to the list. But the Gemara says, but do you remember our Mishnah? That's not what Rav Elazar said in our Mishnah. V'anan tanan Rav Elazar omer bizman she'en b'nei tarbos, einem u'adim v'anachash mo'ad la'olam. So, in our Mishnah, Rav Elazar says, you take all these animals and you raise them in your house. Again, I'm not recommending it, but you raise them in your house, they can be domesticated, and therefore they can be put under the category of tam. And Rav Elazar says the only exception is a snake. So when the Braisa says afanachash, that doesn't seem to work out with our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah, according to Rav Elazar, according to Rebbe Elazar, only singles out the snake. So the Gemara says, Tani, I'm sorry, Tini Nachash. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to edit the Braisa. The Braisa that says Af Nachash, we're going to take out the word Af, and it's just Nachash, and now there's agreement between Mishnah and the Braisa. Okay. Amar Shmuel. Ari Bershus Arabim Darz V'Achal Pater, Tar V'Achal Chayiv. Okay. We're going to talk about the behavior of a lion. Okay. I should have caught up on my National Geographic before coming to shir today. But I didn't. So right now I'm going to work solely with the Gemara's assumptions. A lion, if it is in a Rishus HaRab, now remember, this I say it's unusual because all these halachas only are going to apply if the lion has an owner. If the lion doesn't have an owner, so then we have nothing to talk about other than a tragedy. Okay, which I know in the news, I know, just happened. But in other words, these halachas only are relevant when the lion has an owner. And so basically all we're doing now over the course of the next few minutes of the Gemara, from here until the Mishnah, is that we're noting what is considered normal behavior for a lion and abnormal behavior for a lion. And remember, it makes all the difference in terms of how much the owner is going to pay. Normal behavior for a lion, meaning if this is the normal way that the lion eats, that's shame. And again, it's in terms of the damages, plus and minus. The plus is that if it's in a Rishus HaRabim, you're exempt. If it's in the Rishus HaNizak, you have to pay full damages. If it's unusual behavior, it's abnormal behavior, that's Karen, where you're going to be paying half damages across the board.
In regard to the Rishus HaRabim, let's say you're like with the shore. The shore does belong to the Rishus HaRabim. The lion doesn't.
I'm not understanding you. What do you mean belong?
You said that the shore, like, you know, in terms of like walking around, you know, and like stepping on things and stuff like that, there's no damage to pay for that, is because the shore belongs there.
Right.
Right. But a lion doesn't belong to the Rishus HaRabim, really.
I mean, again, if it's wild, if it's yeah, yeah, you can right. In our Mishnah, so there are Tanaim who say that you can domesticate it. So, and even if remember, even if you can't domesticate it, so but there's still you could own it. Again, the Mishnah is not advocating. The Mishnah is not taking a position of whether it's a good idea or a bad idea. Okay, I will say off the record or on the record, it's a bad idea. Okay, I will go on record saying it's a bad idea. Oh, no, it's fine. I don't mind saying it. I'm not saying anything radical. It's a bad idea. Now, all we're discussing right now is in the event that this lion is owned and the owner and the lion does damage, what kind of liability, financial liability, does the owner of the animal have to pay? That's all we're discussing. And so, all we're looking at over here now is what is considered normal patterns of behavior and abnormal. If it's normal, Shane. If it's abnormal, it's Karen. Okay. So the Gemara describes. Let's finish up to the Mishnah. So Amar Shmuel, Ari Brishus Rabin Doris Va'Ochel Pater Tarva Ochel Chayef. If the animal is Doris Va'Ochel, Doris means claws its prey, and even before the animal dies, start eating. The Gemara says that's normal behavior. So what category does that fall under? Shane. And because it's a Brishus Rabin, the owner of the animal is Pater. Tara v'achal chayev. If, however, the lion allows the animal to die and then eats the animal, that's unusual. Unusual, again, just I, like I said, I'm going only with the assumptions the Gemara is giving over here. I'm not caught up on, you know, what our latest National Geographic is saying. I'm just operating with the Gemara's assumption. If it allows the animal to die and then eats the animal, that's unusual. And the Gemara says, therefore, because it's unusual, categorically, what category is that? Karen, meaning owner of the animal on the hook to pay. Now, how much? Now, again, that goes back to the discussion of, is a lion tameable? Oh my gosh, I just thought of it. I'm going to say it. Tameable. Okay, now if you get it, that's great, and if you don't get it, it's fine. You missed a pun, which I regret having said it. Yeah, another, if it's tameable. So then if it's a tam, so you pay chatzi nezek. If it's a muad, you pay nezek shalim. But the point is, because it's unusual, it's keren, and therefore the owner has to pay. Okay, so I just thought of it, and it was such a terrible pun. Okay, let's move on. So va'achal pater tar va'achal chayev. Okay, daras va'achal pater, and the Gemara just spells it out. So the dores, meaning it holds on to the prey and then starts eating it immediately. Kevin de orche lemidras havale kamosha achla peros virakos. That's just regular consumption, and therefore the havale shein rishus rabim pater. So that shein and the rishus rabim exempt. Taraf. Lav orchehu. However, if it allows the animal, the prey first to die and then eats it, that's unusual. Okay. So lamema de treif lav orchehu. The Gemara says, really, that's unusual for a lion to kill its prey and first allow it to die and then eat it. That's unusual. The Gemara says, what about pesukim in Tanakh? Vaksiv arye toreif. Arye toreif bidigorasav. So the pasuk in Nachum describes how a lion kills in order so that could feed its cubs. So the Gemara says bishvil garosav, fine. So for its cubs, it's going to allow the animal to die. For itself, it won't. Mechanek leliviosav, the lion is going to kill and allow its prey to die so it can go home to its rebbitzin and feed the rebbitzin. Okay. So the Gemara says bishvil leviosav. Again, the Gemara says same basic idea. In other words, if the lion's killing for someone else, it will allow the prey to die. V'yamale teref chorav. Again, sometimes the pasuk in Hosea Nachum describes how the lion will take its prey and basically fill in the holes in its where it camps out. So the Gemara says bishvil chorav. Again, that's fine. Meaning, the lion is clearly storing it, so then it's going to allow the prey to die. But if the lion's going to eat, it's going to eat it immediately, even before death. Uma onosav treifa. One more phrase of the pasuk in Nachum. What about the fact that it fills its palace, meaning wherever it calls its place home, it fills its palace with treifas. Bishvil maonosav. And again, the Gemara gives the same answer. Yes, you're right. If it's looking to store the animal, so then they allow the prey to die. If it's looking to eat, it's going to eat the animal even before it dies. Ve'atayin, the Gemara quotes a brisa. Ve'chein chai shenichnas lechatzar anizak. Tarfa behema va'achla basar mishalem ezek shalem. So here in this brisa, we are describing a chaya. Now, presumably, any wild animal where kills the animal, kills its prey, and then eats it, and the Gemara describes it as being nezek shalem. So the Gemara says, well, yeah, he allowed the prey to die because originally the animal wanted to store it. The Gemara says, ha'achla, hard to argue, considering that it ate it. So the Gemara says, ha'achla ketani, b'shenim lecha va'achla. Funny answer of the Gemara, the animal changed its mind. So the Gemara says, it's a funny answer. So the Gemara says, Minaya di'inan, okay, but are we supposed to be animal mind readers? So the Gemara says, oh, d'shmuel nami d'mahachihu. And remember, Shmuel could also be describing a similar scenario. So Amrav Nachmar is going to start dim ketani. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to break up the brisa into two separate parts. Shetarfa lehaniach, if it killed its prey to store it. Next case, odarsa va'achla, or if it just clawed its prey and then ate it, mishlam and nezek shalin. Well, that is considered normal behavior. No, that. That is considered... No, I'm right. That's considered normal behavior, and then you're going to have to pay nezek shalom, you're going to have to pay full damages.
I think if you're standing to watch all these details, you're in the
right. Now, Ravina Amar, Kikamar Shmuel, Ba'ari Tarbos, Valli, B'derab Elazar. Ravina says, well, when Shmuel made a statement, he was talking about a domesticated animal, assuming like Rebbe Lazar that a lion is domesticatable. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then this becomes now unusual behavior. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then Doris also should fall under the category of unusual, and therefore should pay full. So the Gemara says, Ela de Ravina lava Shmuel Idmar. So the Gemara says that Ravina was not actually making a comment to Shmuel. So rather, Ravina was commenting directly on the Mishnah, not on Shmuel's statement. Kitani masnisa ba'ari tarbos v'aliba de Rav Elazar. When are we having a discussion about a lion and liability of the owner that is only talking about where it's domesticated and We're going like Rav Elazar, where it's domesticated bull. So the Gemara says, fine. So it's Karen. And so therefore the owner should not have to pay full damages, but rather half. So the Gemara says, well, it's a repeat offender. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, all well and good. Why then did the Braisa put that by alongside Shane? It should be putting it alongside Karen. Kasha, the Gemara says, I leave that question unresolved. So that part is difficult. Okay. Adkan. Tomorrow we start with the next mission.